We've all seen maps of cities and regions that might disappear by year X if sea levels rise by a certain degree. It's frightening, but also hard to imagine and seems somehow far removed from our lives right now. Not so for the residents of Tangier Island, Virginia. They are struggling to save this small Chesapeake Bay community from a predicted 4 to 6 feet of sea level rise by the end of the century. Carolyn Beeler reports.
To get to Tangier Island this time of year takes some planning. You have to take either the mailboat or a ferry that leaves once a day from a small town on Maryland's eastern shore.
Our cruise will take approximately 1 hour and 15 minutes.
On a sunny afternoon late this summer, I took the ferry. Captain Stephen Thomas has been piloting it for 35 years, and he's got the well-worn jokes to prove it.
We'll be leaving Tangier Island this evening at 4:05. If we miss you today, well, don't worry about it. We're going to be right back here, same time tomorrow.
As the boat pulls into the small harbor on Tangier, you can see crab shacks and piles of cages on the shore to the right. Inland, the island has tidy houses and tidy yards, dotted with white crosses and lined with white picket fences. With few cars on the island, scooters and tourists' golf carts rule the road. In front of one of Tangier's two churches, I met Carolyn Charnock, who's lived all but 2 of her 72 years on the island.
Well, I'm a housewife, but I used to help my husband in the seafood business, but he passed away, and so I'm retired, I guess you could call me now.
Not long before Charnock was born, the last islanders who lived on the upper half of the island moved to the lower half, as erosion overtook their land and turned streets into marshes. Today, fewer than 500 people live on all of Tangier. That's only about a third of the population a century ago. Many who are left still bear the last names of the original families who settled the islands in the 17th century.
Crockett's, Parks, Pruitt's, the main three.
And most speak with the unique Tangier accent, a holdover from those last British settlers.
They say Cornwall, England. So you can understand me, right?
It took me a second, but...
Yeah, I can definitely understand you.
Like just about everyone else I spoke to on Tangier, Charnock pointed to erosion and flooding as the island's biggest threats. During nor'easters, she says stormwaters flood the streets.
It's amazing, really. It's such a difference from what it is now. But it has been known to cover this whole road here.
This road here right in front of the church?
Uh-huh, it has.
So are there parts of the island that don't exist anymore?
Oh, yes, on the western side of the island. When I used to go to the beach when I was a young girl, now it's in the water.
The eastern seaboard is sinking due to an effect scientists call a glacial rebound. A combination of that sinking and sea levels rising has Tangier in trouble. Experts predict the island will be completely covered in water in the next 50 to 100 years. Many residents I talked to didn't believe in sea level rise. They agree they have a problem, they just attribute it to the erosion that's been eating away at Tangier for as long as anyone can remember. James Uker Eskridge is a waterman and mayor of the island.
We don't have any protection. I mean, it's the island itself is only 3 or 4 feet above sea level, and it's just soft material, sod, and I don't believe the erosion has increased. It's just, it's been going on since Captain John Smith came up to bay, but when it gets to your doorstep, you pay more attention to it.
While there are disagreements about the causes of the island disappearing, everyone agrees Tangier needs help. The Army Corps of Engineers built a seawall about 25 years ago that protects the island's airstrip and sewage system on the west side. Now it's planning a stone jetty to shield the harbor from wave damage. The project was approved way back in 1996, but money for the $4 million project wasn't appropriated until after Superstorm Sandy. The Army Corps hopes to start building the jetty within the next 2 years, but Mayor Eskridge says he knows it's not going to be enough.
We have nothing really going on the east side of the island to protect us. And whenever we get tropical systems, hurricanes or tropical storms, that's where the wind will be on the east side.
We really need a seawall the whole way around the island.
That's Mark Crockett, a crab fisherman turned ferry captain who I met at the Tangier Oil Company. The Barn Red gas station and store is a hangout spot for island men.
Got grandkids living here, you know. I ain't gonna probably be here much longer, but they're coming along. I wanted to be here for them.
Sitting on a bench outside the oil company building, Norwood Evans also spoke of the need to fortify.
so much washing away from here, it's unreal how quick it's going.
Evans moved to Tangier from the only other inhabited island left on the Chesapeake Bay, and he can't imagine living anywhere else.
I love living on this little island. I mean, you know everybody and all, and it's a unique place, and the stuff that I love to do for sport is like fishing and hunting and all, and it's no place like it on Earth, I don't think.
The problem in securing the future of the island for Evans and Crockett's descendants is money. The Army Corps of Engineers has proposed breakwaters off the western shore of the island to prevent more erosion, but neither the feds nor local partners have stepped in to fund the project. And as more communities start to plan for sea level rise, Eastern Shore Regional Planner Curtis Smith said the competition for funds to lift houses and armor shorelines is getting fierce.
It definitely seems like there's more localities competing for the funds, and it's harder for rural, small localities like the ones that we work with on the Eastern Shore to compete for those funds.
Smith says tiny towns don't have the staff to work on grant applications, and it's harder for them to raise matching funds needed for many federal projects.
The largest town we have is less than 4,000 people, and the majority of the towns in my region are less than 1,000 people. And, you know, we're competing against New York and New Orleans and Miami, and it's definitely an uphill battle.
While Tangier's future is uncertain, it's at least getting more attention than other towns that don't have the same quaint tourist appeal and historic designations. Skip Stiles is head of the Norfolk, Virginia-based conservation group Wetlands Watch. He points to Saxis. It's a town connected to the Eastern Shore that juts out into the bay east of Tangier.
So you've got Tangier and Saxis, two communities on the bay that are being inundated, about the same size. One gets a $4 million seawall and the other doesn't. How did we make that decision? How should we make those decisions?
As we begin to answer these tough questions for the first time, Stiles argues conflict is inevitable. Fortifying an island that computer models show will be completely underwater within a lifetime may seem like a waste to some. But if it's your home you're trying to protect, buying time and hedging your bets against the rising seas is understandable.
If I'm living in Kansas, it probably makes a lot of sense to simply pull the plug and pay people to move off of the island. If I'm on Tangier and I've been there since the first ships arrived, it's a much more difficult decision.
It's a difficult decision Tangier is facing now and many others will face soon. For The Pulse, I'm Carolyn Beeler.